You hear a lot about how we need change. I saw a bumper sticker. How do you like to change now? Have you seen that recently? How do you like your change now? Well, we do need change. But in the church world, sometimes I'm seeing a little bit that change doesn't come so easy. Someone said, "Now I'm not wanting to debate this, but it's getting harder to see changes. It's getting harder to see baptisms among young people. It's getting harder to see folks delivered." Somebody else said, "Well, it depends on where you go to church." Maybe it is, but I think one of the things that may make things harder when it comes to changing, getting the nature of Christ, being delivered, receiving the baptism, is the lack of prayer. I know in my area, at least, so many churches don't have a prayer meeting. They don't have a tarrying meeting where they call in the name of the Lord. I'm thankful that we do at the chapel and Thursday night that the saints come out and pray, call on the name of the Lord for the whole every member of the body of Christ, for the needs, join together. And I'm thankful for the saints that we have in the chapel that are faithful in to that meeting, but also faithful in prayer. They know how to battle in prayer. Every church needs that. It's how a church keeps strong, and we keep in Christ. I'm thankful. I forget which day now it was, but we had a staff prayer meeting, and people laid hold. And the results we saw in that night meeting, they prayed. I think it was Sister Fran, Sister Nora's sister, prayed so fervently that God would pour out His Spirit, and He did not disappoint us. But it was prayed through. There's something to learning how to pray through, to be persistent. I find children are persistent, don't you? Amen? Any cottage counselors here? Yet? Well, raise your hand if you are. Oh, yes. Are they not persistent? I remember as a child going to my aunt's house. My father's brother and his wife's name was Aunt Betty, and she did of all of my family, she just did not like me. So I gave her a reason. We were there at my Aunt Betty's house. My cousin showed me this neat little device. Maybe some of you will remember. It was called the creepy crawler device. Do you raise your hand if you remember that? You remember that?
My brother used to sell creepy crawlers on the bus.
He did? That's creepy. Well, she had one of these things. I never saw one before. You get this liquid, you put it in a mold, right? And that heats up. And then you got these little creepy bugs and stuff. Now, Nick, to some of you, this is old hat, but this was kind of new. I thought, that's fantastic. I could sell them on the bus. I didn't take the bus, though. But, I said, wow. She showed us, you put this in here and you heat that thing up. And, immediately in my head I said, I want that. I must have been like 20 years old. No. I don't know how old I was. 6, 7. I said, I got to have that. And I remember hinting for it, because I wasn't the boldest kid, but boy, when you want something, right? And I remember fussing. I think I might have hinted to my mother. Now, I'm not going to ask my mother if she remembers. Every Sunday evening, I said, "You remember that, Mom?" "No, I don't remember that." The pastor's the biggest liar in the house. So I'm not going to ask you, Mom. But I tell you, I started begging, asking, pleading, crying, kicking. I tell you, we got in the car, and I remember, could I borrow it, mail it back? Fussing and everything. So bad that even my Aunt Betty, who didn't like me, you remember that, Mom?
No,
my dad. Went and got the creepy crawler set and said, "Here." just to get us off her property. Whatever, I went home with the creepy crawler set. Got home, my mother said, "You're going to burn yourself with that," and took it away from me. It's true. Jesus said this from Luke 18, and it's a short scripture, but you're familiar with it. Then he spoke a parable to them that men ought always to pray and not lose heart. Some translations say this, that he spoke a parable to them that men ought always to pray and not quit. And then following that, he gave the illustration of the unjust judge. Men ought always to pray and not to quit. It's too easy sometimes to quit. When it comes to divine healing, it's easy to quit. When it comes to the salvation of our loved ones, our co-workers, fellow students, sometimes it's just too easy to quit. And we stop short. We get weary of asking, don't we? When it comes to our finances, you know, we'd rather worry than pray. We'd rather fret than have faith. Well, it's the natural man. But Jesus said, don't quit. Be persistent. Maybe you heard about the young fellow who they went to Sunday school faithfully. And the little fellow learned a lot about the Bible. And he had learned this verse that you ought to ask and not quit. And one day his mother took him shopping, you know, and I don't know how old he was, but she put him in the carriage and she did her shopping. And she came down the aisle and there was his favorite cookies right there, Oreos. And he said, "Mommy, can I have those Oreos?" And she said, "No, you can't have them. We have other things at home. That's not what we're here. We're here to get a few items and leave." Well, she went on shopping and she came around that aisle again. And he said, "Mommy, can I have those cookies?" And she said, "I told you no. That's enough now." Well, as it would be, she went around shopping again. She passed by that aisle and he said, "Mommy, right down there is those Oreos. Can't we get those Oreos?" And she said, "No, that's enough. I told you no." Finally, she pulled into the checkout line and that little guy stood up in that cart to the fear of maybe 10 people around him, and he said, "In the name of Jesus, can I have those cookies?" You know, everyone laughed around him. He went home with 10 packages of cookies. We need that same thing. You know, sometimes it seems like the answer's gone by. But we sang about in the name of Jesus. Jesus said, don't quit. Be persistent. In a true story is one of a backwoods guy who finally got electricity. And, you know, he's not the only one who's done this. They finally ran electricity up to his cabin on the side of the mountain, and what a great day that was. When the electric company saw the bill that he got, it was minimal. It was nothing. And they couldn't figure this out. They went up to see what was wrong. Maybe there was a disconnect. There may be some short or something, but he wasn't using his electric. And the truth of it is that what happened, they asked the guy when they got there, they said, "Everything's hooked up. Everything seems to be fine. Your lights work, but we've noticed that you're not using the electric. Is everything okay?" He said, "I use it." He said, "I turn it on, find the matches, light the lamps, I turn the lights off." People do that. They do it. Me? We leave all the lights on. But you know, that's how we are sometimes with prayer. We say we believe in it. We say that, you know, I'll pray. But it's just like the guy, he just puts that on. He puts the lights on for a minute to use the oil lamps. Well, we say we're going to use prayer, then we go about trying to figure it out ourselves. Doing it ourselves. You know, the hard way. And we don't really believe prayer is going to bring the answer. Many people believe it, but they kind of believe that it really doesn't matter whether they pray or not. Somebody once said that to me. Here's two things. They either believe that, number one, God's going to do what God's going to do anyway. Have you heard that? Have you heard that? God's going to do what God's going to do anyway. So why bother praying? I got to tell you this. My time is short tonight. But I have to tell you this. This one good brother, who I love dearly, comes to me and it's election year. Already you know it's a bad topic. And he comes to me and he says, you know, God's sovereign, and he's going to put into office who he wants. So I say to him, I say, I know God is sovereign, but what about prayer? What about praying and looking at the person? And he said, but God's going to put in who he wants. God's going to do what he wants to do anyway. And I said to him, but in this country, we have a choice. So why don't we pray that the church gets light and the church prays that God should be put in? I find that this mentality of God's going to do what God wants to do anyway is deadly and wrong. And we ought to, you know, get the heart and the will of God, and he uses our prayers that way. The second thing is this: they regard prayer as a last resort after all their other efforts have failed. Don't you find that so? I find sometimes myself saying this: the only thing we can do is pray. And think, I mean, I find myself saying that, but isn't that something the pastor says? Well, the only thing we can do to pray. It's like, you know, that's how weak is that, right? How weak is that? How that must hurt the heart of God, saying, that's the least you could do? That's all you can do? Is just pray? We fall into that. What if we came to where God wanted us to be and we realized the only thing to do is pray with all our hearts? Get the church to pray. We need to pray. We don't need to do this. We need to pray. Would make a big difference, wouldn't it? When we look at the Gospels, you find out that prayer meant everything to Jesus, didn't it? Here's the Son of God, and he is going off and praying whenever he could and teaching so much on prayer. He said we ought to always pray and not quit. Why? Why? Is it because God is hard of hearing? Or God doesn't like us to pester him that much? I mean, God's not going to get our attention until we pester him enough. That's not it. I looked at a portion of Scripture that I believe gives us two answers, and I want to leave them with you tonight. It helped me. I hope it helps you. And it's found in Daniel 10:10. Daniel, there's a lot to explain. And Brother Fogel, I am no theologian. As you could tell by my answer to Noah. But in Daniel, he has a very important dream. And in that, he wants to know. He knows the dream has a lot to do with the future, and he needs an answer. And he's praying over this troubling dream. And we pick it up in around verse 10. Now, forgive me, I'm reading from the New Living Translation. It's different, perhaps, than many of you have. But listen to what happens. Now then a hand touched me and lifted me, still trembling, to my hands and knees. And he said to me, O Daniel, greatly loved of God, listen carefully to what I have to say to you. Stand up, for I have been sent to you. When he said this to me, I stood up, still trembling with fear. Verse 12. Then he said, don't be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day you began to pray for understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your request has been heard in heaven, and I have come to answer your prayer. Verse 13, but for 21 days the spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia blocked my way. Then Michael, one of the archangels, came to help me, and I left him there with the spirit of prince of the kingdom of Persia. Now, I am here to explain what will happen to your people in the future, for this vision concerns a time yet to come. And there's two things that I believe help us to understand a little bit more about prayer. when I came to understand it, it helped me to pray with more fervor. To understand this might help you to say, you know what? I need to pray and not quit. I need to get a little bit more fervor and faith when I ask God, when I come before that throne of grace. We read there, since the first day you began to pray for understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your request has been heard in heaven. And he said, I have come to answer that prayer. Prayer unleashes the power of heaven. Think about that next time you go to your knees. The next time you have the smallest request to the biggest request. Prayer unleashes the power of heaven. It's the angel said, we heard you in heaven. Now don't let Satan minimize that in your thinking and your thoughts. He said, we heard you in heaven. I believe every time one of us have an earnest prayer, we're heard. We're heard. Can you imagine your voice ringing through heaven? Because that's what happened with Daniel. The day he prayed that, it echoed through heaven and right to the throne of God. And the great King of Kings heard that. But the next thing I see there too is this, that really you're knocking on the most greatest, almighty, most majestic door that ever existed. We recently had a chance to visit the Vanderbilt mansion on the Hudson. Wow. Anyone get a chance to see some of these mansions? No? How about the... not at all? Have you? Oh, tremendous, right? The doors are huge. Why do you have to have big doors? I mean, this door... I forget how many tons this guy said. This door is like... You know, just huge doors. You walk up to it... And it's like, why would anyone want to live here? This cavernous sort of mansion. But I looked at these doors. They open so easy. You know, I got little doors at home. And it's like, you can't open them. These big doors, they open. Well, we see here that we have an opportunity to knock on the mightiest door there is. I have to tell you this. I had a friend named Frank growing up in junior high. And he and I, we palled around together, but we had a common enemy. That common enemy's name, I still remember it, isn't it funny? Dave Cowley. No. The bitterness is gone. The bitterness is gone. Dave Cowley tormented my junior year. Brother Peter, do you teach in junior high?
I do not.
Oh, bless you. Bless you. Because none of the teachers came to rescue me. But you know, he tormented me, and he also tormented Frank. I got along with everyone else, but somehow Dave Cowley was jealous of my physique and my good looks. No. Now he tormented me, but one day I happened to make friends with this huge, giant monster of a wrestler, and his name was Pat Villani, and he was a big guy. You know, he was one of these big guys. Not quite as big as John Schultheis, but big. And he liked, he would say to me, Keith, you and Frank are funny. I like you guys. You're funny. Tell me another one. And really, it was like out of a sitcom, because we'd walk around. Well, Frank and I said, we came up with this idea. You know, Dave Cowley's in our gym class, and so is Pat Villani. So we went to Pat Villani and said, you know what? Pat, you know who's not funny? Said, Dave Cowley is not funny. He's not funny. And you go, no, he's not. This not to say that all athletic people are like that. I don't mean that. Pat was. He could wrestle well. His grades weren't so high. Yeah, he's not funny. Well, we watched one day as he just mopped up the gym floor with Dave Cowley. But this is what I'm getting to. One night, I was at Frank's house, and it wasn't Dave Cowley, but some of his friends. We were walking around the block, and they saw us, and it just started picking on us and stuff. So we started, after we got a few steps away, started giving it back for once. And they lit into us. They chased us. Well, we ran to Pat Filani's house. They didn't know it was his house. And you know, we got to his door. And they came up, they didn't quite come up the walk, but when that door opened and Pat Filani came to the door, you know, it was like, what? The war was over! The war was over! You know, it was a great feeling. But I'm going to move on, but I got to tell you this. You know what happened that night? Those guys didn't get us. Pat Filani came to the door. But then he got into a wrestling mood and he wiped the floor up with us. It's just too crazy. But you know, we have an opportunity to knock. Do you knock? Folks, if you realize the immenseness of the door that we get to knock on, and what we sang tonight, Jesus Christ purchased our privilege to knock on the door of heaven and say, God, I need your help. I need you. As he told in that parable of the unjust judge, as that widow cried, avenge me of my enemy. Do you pray that? I heard that. I learned that in church, and you know what? I got a hold of that prayer. And I said, avenge me of my enemy. God, you avenge me of my enemy. And sometimes when I sing the song, I like the enemy to hear it. You listen to this one. You avenge me of my enemy. Some of those songs we sang tonight, we sing and it hurts the enemy. I know it does. But the second thing is this. Prayer is a battlefield, and you need to know that. We read this. Daniel prayed 21 days, didn't he? He was heard the first day. But the angel ran into trouble. There was a battle going on. Something behind the scenes. Many of us know, I think it's Peretti. Peretti's book for a while back kind of gave us this visual idea of what this battle. But it helps us to know that it is a battlefield and that we ought to fight through. Remember when the disciples came into that dilemma while Jesus was away up on the mountain there, and this man came to his disciples and said, you know, my son, he's got this demon, this mute demon, and, you know, he falls in the fire, and can you do anything? And they prayed over him. They had, you know, they had their prayer over, and they couldn't do anything. Finally, Jesus shows up, and they said, Master, please help me. My son, you know, and Jesus said, how long has he had this? He said, since a child, since birth, he's done this. He goes into a seizure. And Jesus said, well, you asked me if I could help you. If you can believe, I can help you. And the man said, Lord, one of the most helpful prayers, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. But then, after Jesus heals this child, the disciples are scratching their heads and they can't wait to get Jesus alone. They said, why couldn't we do that? Why couldn't we do that? And Jesus said, well, your faith. But he also said something very interesting. He said, and by the way, this one only comes out by what? I think he was saying to his disciples, are you willing to do a little work? Huh? Are you willing to just do a little work, to knock on heaven's door, to fight through, to believe through, to pray through? Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to sacrifice through? Jesus knew what sacrifice was. He knew what all those miracles that he did would cost him, didn't he? And it wasn't easy. 3 times he said, let this cup pass from me. 3 times. He knew what it would cost him. He said to his disciples, are you willing to fast and pray? Fast and pray? That's how this thing is going to go. God isn't hard of hearing. He's not distant from us. That's not what it is. It's a battle, isn't there? And I like to remind us that prayer is an aggressive act of ministry. In Spotswood, a good brother, Jim Kranga, every Thursday, this is a few years now, every Thursday, and he's a big mountain of a guy too, big bear, loves the Lord with all his heart. Every Thursday, God, save my son Jimmy. Every Thursday, right? Save my son, Jimmy. Go get him. His son's running around Jersey City, you know, getting arrested, drugs, alcohol. Save my son, Jimmy. Every Thursday, same prayer. He goes, you could hear him starting up. Oh, God. And you knew what it was going to be. His son, Jimmy, now is a Sunday school teacher. He worships so loud. Great fella in the chapel. He came in, he married that woman's daughter. My first wedding. And it's still holding good. Right? Wonderful. Persistent in prayer. Well, I'll close with this. I like this story. Maybe you've heard this, and it's true. The one gentleman said, he got up and he testified, and he said, you know, when I'm sick, you know what I do? I push. He said, when there's trouble in the church, I push. When someone gives me trouble on the job, you know what I do? I push. When there's trouble in the family, I push. Have you heard that? Someone said, what do you mean you push? He gave the guy a good shove. No. Well, he said, this is what push means. Pray until something happens. We need a little more of that, folks. We need a little bit more. When we were here in the winter program, Reverend Garden made sure that we were to read the life of, what's his name again? I forgot it already. Mueller, right? Was it? What's his first name again?
George.
I called him Georgie. George Mueller. It was a good book. At first I didn't want to read it. You know, reading it, though, was tremendous. There's a story in there, though, that he got on a ship, and he had an appointment at a certain time, and the captain came to him and said, we're not going to make it because there's so much fog, and we can't push through this fog that fast. So, I'm sorry, you're going to end up missing your appointment. And he said, well, captain, will you come with me down to the lower decks, and we'll have prayer? Captain said, there's not much we can do. And he said, will you come with me down to the lower deck? They went down, they got on their knees, and they had a little prayer meeting. And the story goes that George began to pray that God would lift the fog, that he could keep that appointment on time, and that it would all work out. And then the captain went to pray. And George Mueller reached over, tapped him on the knee, said, you don't need to pray, seeing that you don't have faith anyway. And he said, I've prayed, and I believe the Lord, and we will make that appointment, and I wish that you would go up and see that the fog is lifted. The captain gets up, he goes upstairs, what do you think he saw? The fog's lifted, right? No surprise to this story. The captain is amazed. George Mueller tells him, he said, for I forget how many years, every time God had given me a specific appointment, I've never missed it. I've never missed it. I remember reading that, and I went out, you know, I thought, I'm going to try this. And it was raining one day. Yeah. It's raining. And then I'm in the, over there, in the nurse's place there, in that little box, we called it the box. And it's raining, and I'm reading this. I'm saying, faith, you know, I'm all fired up. I'm a Bible student and all this, and it's time to try this stuff out. So I'm praying. I said, Lord, I just prayed it. Stop raining. You know? Just stop raining, Lord. Let it stop raining. And like Georgie Mueller would say, do it. You know? I really did. I thought, and I went outside that box, and it was pouring. You know? Like, I guess I'm more like the captain. But you know what? I shouldn't really close with this, but I have to because it's the truth. You know what the Holy Spirit told me? Son, next time you don't knock on this door, make sure you have an appointment. George Mueller had an appointment, and it was God's will. And he would answer if it was God's will. Sometimes in the church, we just want God to do what we want. And we forget it's thy will be done. Right? Not, hey, Lord, here's a good idea. So when you know God's will, you have every right to be persistent.